The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 16. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And we were actually going to have four of our reviewers to talk about Atlantis today, but because of some weather delays, Julinda and Rich were not able to see the show. So it's just Claire and I to talk about Atlantis, which is the new musical at Virginia Rep's November Theater through May 5th. Life is ideal in this mystical, magical, lost kingdom until a stranger washes up on their shores to challenge their basic beliefs. So what did you think of this new musical, Claire?
I thought that it had a lot of the exterior trappings of a big hit Broadway musical.
That's true.
But that it was missing some of the soul, some of the heart, some of the character motivations.
Right, right.
That we maybe needed for it to go beyond being a fable. And I'm sort of torn on how I feel about this because, you know, the story of Atlantis originally was sort of a story with a moral at the end, a story that didn't really have characters but was meant to sort of be a place to talk about ideas. And all of the ideas are there in this play.
But you don't care about the
people. But I just don't care about the people.
Yeah,
they
are.
They exist just for us to talk about the ideas.
It's interesting because even, you know, the spunky young woman who yearns for something beyond her island, well, that's pretty trite. I agree. I think the tech was amazing. I think Jason Sherwood's set was dazzling. The lights were cool. And, of course, there was a lot of color and a lot of things changing, which was really, you know, it was like a big Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
I had some problems with Amy Clark's costumes. I thought they were just kind of a jumbled up kind of mashup of ancient civilizations. They weren't as beautiful or as visually inspiring as the set.
I'll agree with that. You know, they definitely told me that we were dealing with a seafaring culture. There was a lot of netting,
right,
a lot of like fish
ropes
parts
and
yeah, ropes and things. But I agree, they could have been flashier. The only thing I really kind of liked or that I want to say about those is that some of the costumes were very gender fluid, and
right.
I thought that was an interesting point to bring into what is supposed to be this
idyllic
perfect
world.
Ideal society.
Right.
So at the very least, having those sort of gender fluid costumes, and particularly I'm thinking about Derek Jakes,
right.
And he was giving like sexy gender fluid Gandalf vibes.
Right.
And a lot
exactly.
of that came from his costume.
Right.
So I did like that aspect of the costumes. They could have been more specific. They could have pointed to...
They could have been prettier.
Could have told us more about the characters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I felt like, speaking back to the characters, even the comic duo, which usually would add some spunk and some life... Their stuff wasn't very funny. You could tell they were the comic duo.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Smith, who led the musical team, I thought they did it sounded great, but the songs all just felt kind of bland. They felt like generic Broadway.
Yeah, and there were like maybe a few too many of those sort of really big high points,
especially
in
the second act. It
yeah,
was just
like
one
every
long
song
dreary
was that
showstopper.
Big thing. Yep,
yeah, yeah.
Yep. And it really diminishes the impact of the showstoppers when they are when there's 20 of them.
Yeah, exactly. The singers were all
strong. The singers
strong.
Were amazing.
Everybody sounded great.
Everybody sounded
Everybody's
really
committed.
Good. Yeah.
But it just was kind of a muddled, bland story that really just undermined the appeal of the show.
Yeah. I think it's just not there yet.
As Nathaniel talked about 2 weeks ago on Curtain Call, this is still in progress. And they will probably be reworking the book. They will probably take some of the suggestions that they've gotten locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be doing surveys and things too. So I think they will rework it. And hopefully it'll be a better show. And we'll be proud to say, well, we saw it way back at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
Terrific. We've been talking about Atlantis, which is the new musical at Virginia Rep's November Theater through May 5th. On the last episode of Curtain Call, I talked with Nathaniel Shaw, the artistic director of Virginia Rep, about Atlantis. Then we talked about the other two shows that Virginia Rep has created in the last year, and here's that conversation. Now, speaking of these new plays, I know there's actually one that just closed in my chair, which was developed with Eva DeVirgilis, and then, of course, River Diddy, which actually was last April, so it's kind of been a year ago.
Yeah.
Talk about how those two are also things that Virginia Rep helped create and how they're different from this.
With Atlantis, Virginia Rep has not been in the trenches developing the script.
Right.
This is something that has been shepherded by Greg Schaffert and Glass Half Full Productions, the Broadway producers we've been working with. I've been a colleague of Greg's and Gareth's for a long time, and I've been around the development of this piece prior to moving here.
And then you said, bring it on down here.
Bring it on down. But Virginia Rep has not been the leading developer of the artistic product. In the case of River Diddy and In My Chair, I think it's fair to say that we were. I had begun development on River Diddy prior to moving here. But Virginia Rep did a 2-week workshop of that piece and then brought the writer in and out of town to further develop the piece. And then, of course, that led to full production.
So what's happening with that? Has anything happened since then?
Yeah, I'm excited to say that even after the world premiere, which we did last spring, as you mentioned, we got a lot of feedback from Glass Half Full Productions, which we worked in association with on producing that. And they had shared the script with some other producing colleagues, and a handful of producers had come down from New York to look at it. So we had a great body of feedback. So even after the premiere happened, we went in, we cut 7 scenes.
Oh, good.
We cut a character. We cut a location.
It always happens with these things.
We streamlined the piece. It got a lot more muscular with its forward momentum. And happy to say it's been optioned for production by Glass Half Full Productions, the Broadway producer. So they retain the rights to produce it. I believe their plans are to have a reading of that sometime this calendar year, try to get the right theater interested, try to get the right actors engaged in a reading, either in London or New York, and hope that they can rally the right producing team around it for a future production. So that's moving forward.
And of course, Eva's show, which I'm familiar with because when she first started the TED Talk, she did a video for Sifter where we kind of gave her a little preview of that show. And then, of course, she spent 6 years literally traveling the world, workshopping it, and interviewing people. And the run just closed here was very successful.
Yeah, it was very successful.
So how was Virginia Rep involved specifically? Because I know she kind of started that on her own.
Yeah, so Eva had done her TED Talk in 2014, and Bruce Miller, our founding producer, previous artistic director, one of the first things he said to me when I got to town was, you really need to get to know Eva and this TED Talk she's done and the idea of turning this into a play. And of course, I got to know Eva and fell in love with her, as everybody does. And then we took the steps to do that. Fortunately, she had kind of an angel in her back pocket that wanted to support her. In collaboration with this angel, we were able to send Eva on this tour to meet women all over the globe and have these fantastic conversations and wonderful experiences that enriched the piece. We partnered her with a wonderful director, Lisa Rothy, who is the former co-president of the League of Professional Theatrical Women, and had new play development experience at the Lark in New York, and is now the New Works director at Kansas City Rep. So fantastic partner for Eva, and a great relationship for Virginia Rep to help figure out what is next for Eva.
And what is next?
Beyond Richmond. Well, where we are right now is, as of 48 hours ago, I guess, I had good conversation with a commercial producer that is interested in a New York production of In My Chair eventually. Our thinking is that if we could provide the opportunity in a couple more regional settings for Eva to sharpen that message, for Lisa Rothy to continue to experiment with various design collaborations, and build a little bit of a regional groundswell around the piece before bringing it into a major market, we would like to do that. So sometime later this spring, we're probably looking near the end of May, we're going to send Eva, Lisa Rothy, and this producer that has agreed to work on it to New York for a presentation for other commercial producers and nonprofit colleagues of ours. Hopefully from that we can sort of create a journey for the piece moving forward.
Great. Wonderful. Well, that's all very exciting. It's nice to know those shows that you started on a long time ago are still moving forward.
Yeah.
I've been chatting with Nathaniel Shaw, artistic director of Virginia Rep. We've been talking about In My Chair and River Diddy. Thanks for coming in, Nathaniel.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
That'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. And we want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with lots of reviews.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.